How is prayer an essential tool for peace when you're an adult child of divorce at the holidays? That's the topic we're going to be discussing today on Heart in a Drawer, and I'm so glad that you've joined me. If you've come over from my devotion for encouragement for today on Proverbs 31 Ministries, I'm so glad that you're with me here. I use this podcast to minister to the unique hurts and hangups that we have as adult children of divorce and how we can choose hope by following God's word. So my devotion focused on a moment when I was hanging ornaments on my Christmas tree. And I found an ornament in the box that represented a broken and painful relationship. And I was tempted to drop that ornament back into the box, but instead, God moved me to go ahead and hang it on the tree and use it as a prompt to pray over this relationship. That action of praying over that broken relationship during the month of December that year helped me heal. And it helped me choose peace despite a situation that really didn't change. And I think that's a technique that we can use as children of divorce to overcome some of those hard feelings that get stirred up this time of year, the ones we've been talking about in these last few episodes I've covered on handling the holidays. And it's a very practical way to connect with God and deal with some of that junk that we've got trapped inside. So the verse that I made the focus of my devotion is Matthew 5:43-45. And Jesus is talking here, and part of what he says is, I tell you to love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. So he's commanding us to do this. And I don't know if you've experienced some kind of difficult situation in your family where you thought you were being treated as if you were an enemy. And in the last episode, I talked about an incident in which I was insulted by a relative and how I had to work through that. When I think about, when I go back to that year that happened, after Christmas, I was very angry and hurt and irritated by this problem. But I sensed the Lord telling me that I needed to pray over this situation and not just pray for my own feelings to get resolved, but pray for the person who had so deeply hurt me. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to do that at first. It just didn't feel fair. I wanted that person to suffer the way I had. I'm just being honest with you. I think we all have these negative and harsh emotions when we're hurt by people who are supposed to be loving and supporting us, but instead they're treating us like enemies. I knew very clearly, I could sense in my heart that the Holy Spirit was working on me and saying, you need to pray for this person. You need to pray for them. And God brought me back to the scripture in Matthew 5 and instructed me to pray for this person as if they were an enemy attacking me. Even though we've talked about previously in other episodes that our real enemy is Satan, and he works his evil powers through other people to attack us, hold us down, and hold us back from having the life that God wants us to have, which is freedom and rejoicing and glorifying him. So God wants us to glorify him through praying for these people. And that's what Jesus meant when you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, because one of our primary purposes as followers of Christ is to glorify him. So our prayers, kind of the why behind our prayers, one reason is that they glorify God. even if the situation never changes, it glorifies God that He hears our prayers for this person who has hurt us so deeply. Another thing that praying for this person in my family did was to help rid me of those yucky feelings that I had, the feelings of bitterness, the feelings of wanting revenge, the feelings of anger and rage, quite honestly. And you can't pray for someone continually over and over again and harbor that kind of stuff in your heart. That's just not how it works. And God knows that. That's why Jesus told us this. He knew that if we pray for people who treat us like enemies, even within our own family, if we're praying honestly for them, to bless them, to for them to prosper, for them to find the peace that He offers, that action softens our hearts. It makes us more like Jesus because we're looking at them through His eyes instead of our own. And that's what started happening to me. And as I continued to pray, I was thinking about that person's background, their family background, knowing that there was a person in their family who was very critical, had kind of a mean spirit, quite honestly. And the more I thought about that, the more I thought, you know, maybe this person didn't have a good model. Maybe this person has their own burden of criticism and anger that they're carrying because of that example that they had in their life that wasn't healthy or positive. And even though that didn't take away the pain that I had experienced, it did help me show compassion. It did help me say, you know, if I was in that situation, I might be as critical too. And as I've said before, I'm an Enneagram 1, and one of the dark sides of us Enneagram 1s is that we have a critical spirit. We have that inner critic inside. And so I could kind of also exercise compassion knowing that I have that inclination just in my natural wiring to be that way as well. So when I thought about that, I couldn't say, oh, I would never do that. I might not replicate that exact scenario, but I know that that potential is in me because I struggle with a critical spirit too, just like that person does, whether they realize it or not. So I gained compassion by praying over this person, praying blessings on them, praying that they would come to know God in a real relationship and have that peace and joy that He promises. So do you see that the changes were really in me? The changes were more in me because I can honestly say now that was several years ago. And the situation has not really improved. The person may have even gotten more toxic since that time. You know, I don't want to say that to discourage you. I want to say that to be real with you, that your prayer might not actually change the situation. And I think you need to accept that up front. But it will change you inside, and it will change your relationship with God because you will become closer to God through that prayer. You'll become more like Jesus, and you will start bearing the fruits of the Spirit. You will have a healthy detachment from that hurt that that person caused in your life. And that was a huge benefit to me because I could then choose peace instead of the strife that that person wanted to stir up. So I wanted to share with you another scripture that I think is really helpful. It's a good motivator for me in these kind of challenges. And this is from James 5:16, and it's in the New Living Translation. I'm going to make a meditation page that I'll link in the show notes for you so you can write this verse out and keep it in your mind as you're praying over whatever difficult situation you're facing in your family. So I'm going to read it for you once, and then we're going to break it down a little bit. It says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So I'd like to break that down in four sections, and we're gonna have a guided meditation on this. So it says, the earnest prayer. When I think about earnest, I think about someone who's honest. I think about someone who's genuine, who's persistent and consistent, and they want something deeply. They want peace in that person's life. They want a better situation. So they're doing this in good faith. They're not doing it to get even. They're doing it because they truly want something better. And then it says, of a righteous person. So the earnest prayer of a righteous person. When the Bible talks about being righteous, it's talking about following the path that God wants for us. That narrow path that Jesus describes, the path of obedience, a path that someone takes because they want to become more like Jesus. That's the kind of person who prays an earnest prayer, even for their enemies. And then it says, so that kind of prayer has great power. So I know a lot of people wonder, do my prayers really matter? Are they making any difference? If God is all powerful, why do I need to pray? I will tell you that over years and years of praying, something that I've just discovered is that God mysteriously and very graciously weaves our prayers into his master plan for rebuilding his kingdom and making all things new. And I've seen that in my own life. I mean, this testimony I've just given of my prayers for this difficult person, the great power was how it worked in me. And you can experience that great power too through your earnest prayers for this difficult situation. And then it finally says that prayer has great power and produces wonderful results. Now, like I said, might not change the situation, but it is definitely going to change what's in your heart. Now, I wanted to just tell you what I pray before I go into these difficult holiday situations, okay? If the people are coming to my house, I usually go upstairs to my bathroom and just have that quiet space, and I'll pray in there. If I'm going to their house, I might say this, I might stay in the car for a moment or even go into their bathroom and say this kind of prayer. So I have that little private space, that little tiny prayer closet with God to focus my prayers. And this is the kind of thing I pray before I go into those situations. And I hope that this helps you. I'll say, Lord, I know that you want peace in this situation. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace, and you give the peace that passes all understanding. And I pray that you will make me a peace ambassador today, that I will be a beacon of your peace. I will shine your light into this situation. I will be the salt in this situation by the words that I speak. And make me wise as to what to say and what not to say, when to speak and when to hold my tongue, and give me the words to say if you want me to say something hard, if you want me to confront, or if you want me to encourage. I want my words to be pleasing to you. And Lord, I need you today. I need your comforting, guiding presence with me. So please show me your peace before and during and after this time. Please let me feel you with me by my side and help me to know I'm not alone. Even if people create drama today, even if they cause problems, I know you're going to be with me. I know that you will help me and you will be faithful to me like you have been every other Christmas before. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I hope that that might help you have kind of a model going into your holiday celebration. I know this podcast goes live just a few days before Christmas. So even if you only have 24 hours, 36 hours, 48 hours to pray, just make it a point to pray this verse, the Matthew 5. Go back to it, and I'm going to put it in the show notes too, to think about the purpose of your prayer, how you're going to be acting as a true child of your Father in heaven if you're going to pray over this person, and how it glorifies him, and how it will bring peace into your heart because you're doing the right thing. Now, before I say a prayer for you, I wanted to remind you of something, and then I'm going to have a little Christmas reading for you. One of the great joys I have as part of this ministry to adult children of divorce is praying for you. And in every show notes, I put a link to my contact page where you can send me an email prayer request. And I keep that in strict confidence, and it is my honor to pray you through this tough season, any season that you're in as an adult child of divorce. I know the holidays can be so hard for us, so challenging. It would just be my honor to come alongside you and lift you up in prayer. So don't forget that that option's available to you. So I just wanted to read you something encouraging that I have found in one of my favorite Advent devotionals. This is called The Greatest Gift, and it's by Anne Boskamp. And she has a very beautiful, poetic style of writing. And I was just reading this the other day, and it stood out to me as kind of a comfort to us as adult children of divorce. So I'm going to read a portion of it to you. She's talking about the bloodline of Jesus that's recorded in the beginning of Matthew and all the people that are in there. Some of them, she's pointing out the women that were broken, but Matthew decided to include those in that lineage of Christ. And so that's the context of this reading. She says, Jesus claims exactly these who are wandering and wondering and wounded and worn out as his. He grafts you into his line and his story and his heart, and he gives you his name, his lineage, his righteousness. He graces you with plain grace. Is there a greater gift you could want or need or have? Christ comes right to your Christmas tree and looks at your family tree and says, I am your God, and I am one of you, and I'll be the gift, and I'll take you. Take me? This is the love story that's been coming for you since the beginning. It is possible for you to miss it, to brush past it, to rush through it, to not see how it comes for you up over the edges of everything, quiet and unassuming and miraculous, how every page of the word has been writing it, reaching for you, coming for you. And you could wake on Christmas only to grasp that you never took the whole of the gift, this wide expanse of grace. So now we pause, still, ponder, hush, wait. Each day of Advent, he gives you the gift of time, so you have time to be still and wait. Wait for the coming of the God in the manger who makes himself bread for us near starved. For the Savior in swaddlings who makes himself the robe of righteousness for us worn out. For Jesus who makes precisely what none of us can, but all of us want, Christmas. I really like the part where she talks about Jesus speaking over our family trees, and he's claiming us, and he's claiming you. No matter how broken your family situation is, Jesus is your gift this Christmas, and he just wants you to accept him. And so I pray that you have found some comfort today. You found some hope. You've found some encouragement and some direction. And I would like to pray for you as you take that challenge to pray over your family situation. So let's pray now. Father God, I just thank you so much for my brothers and sisters in Christ who are listening today. And I know they are seeking you, Lord. I know that they're seeking your comfort in this challenging holiday season. I know that they are seeking your grace and your peace. And I know that you will freely give it. And Lord, I know how difficult it is to pray for those in our family who have hurt us, intentionally or unintentionally, Lord, and how getting back together with them stirs up all those hurts. But I also know that you are our healer, and Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace, and you want to usher peace into those situations, into our hearts, Lord, so that we can be your peace ambassadors and usher your peace into our families. So, Lord, I pray that you will give this one watching today your courage to start praying, to pray blessings over this person who has caused them harm, over these people that have let them down, Lord, that they would pray blessings on them, that they would pray your peace for them. And as they pray, that you would do a wonderful work in their heart, a transformation, Lord, that you would open up a space of peace that hasn't been there before, and that you would start to heal, you would start to bring in compassion, and you would start a whole new journey for them as they pray faithfully and earnestly for your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining me, and next time we're going to look at reflections back on lessons that we've learned and what we can pull from them for our benefit heading into the new year. God's blessings and his peace be upon you today.